WPHM. You're listening to Paul Miller on News Talk and Sports, 1380 WPHM.
You know, we were all saddened by the death of Aretha Franklin last month, but what a great celebration. We got to hear a lot of her music in the days after her passing. Her funeral lasted nearly 8 hours. That says a lot about the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, who is the subject of a book by Mark Bigo, and he's on the line with us right now, the author of Aretha Franklin, The Queen of Soul. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How did you end up writing a biography about Aretha Franklin?
Well, I'm from Detroit, so of course she's my hometown girl. I grew up on her music, and in 1985, I had the opportunity to go to her house in Bloomfield Hills and just sit on her sofa in her living room and spend 3 hours talking about her wonderful music and her incredible life with her. It was for a Westwood One radio interview. Westwood One's not around anymore, but it was a radio network where we'd have to stop the tape intermittently. And she would take a cigarette break. She took me out in the back to show me her garden. So I felt like I really spent an afternoon with the Queen of Soul, and I knew right then and there it had to be turned into a book. And in fact, I asked her that day in 1985, I said, do you want to do a book with me? I said, I have a publisher who's interested. And she said, no, I really have no interest. Eventually, she changed her mind. But I went around, and I found a lot of the key figures from her career. Jerry Wexler from Atlantic Records, Clyde Otis from her era at Columbia Records, where she was a jazz singer there, jazz and standard singer, and then Clive Davis from her Arista years when she had Freeway of Love and all those great duets she did with Elton John and George Michael and everybody. So what an amazing wealth of music and what an incredible life to write about.
She lived a life, that's for sure. And Mark, when I was watching the funeral a few weeks ago, I was struck by the fact that I didn't feel like I knew a lot about the early life of Aretha Franklin. I knew that she had, I think it was four children, but I didn't know a lot about her husbands or her children. I realized that she had at least a couple of those kids very, very young in life.
Yes, she had to drop out of high school because she had two children at home. She was pregnant at 15 and 16 years old, so she really had a short life, as a girl. I mean, she had to grow up very quickly, and she lived in a household, too, which was quite miraculous. Her father, Reverend C.L. Franklin, of course, was a very popular figure in downtown Detroit, presiding over New Bethel Baptist Church, and he had a recording contract to record his sermons. Chess Records out of Chicago released them. So Aretha had the unique opportunity to record her first album when she was 14 years old. So she really knew what it was she wanted to do with her life. And her household was one in which Mahalia Jackson, the incredible gospel singer from the 50s and 60s, would come and hang out and wash dishes and cook and talk and sing to Aretha. Dinah Washington, the great jazz singer who lived in Detroit, would come to the house. Sam Cooke, the incredible crooner from the 60s, who Aretha had a huge crush on, would come to the house. So she was able to see firsthand how these amazing people could have huge and long-running recording careers, and it became a goal of Aretha's to have a lifelong recording career, and what a career she ended up having.
Well, you know, that term Queen of Soul, that's not an exaggeration. I mean, Aretha really was a queen, wasn't she, in the entertainment world?
Oh, absolutely. And she took that role very seriously. She's famous also for her feuds with the other divas. She had a big problem with Natalie Cole and Diana Ross and Dionne Warwick, and she made no bones about being unhappy with these other female singers. So Aretha really kind of sat on her throne and took her role of as the Queen of Soul very seriously, right up to the end. I mean, you mentioned that amazing funeral. When was the last time we saw someone who wasn't, a president or a dignitary of state have a funeral like that and the whole thing broadcast? It really was the funeral.
I, I, I mean, not many people have costume changes during the time that they're...
That was amazing. Amazing. I mean, talk about the ultimate diva.
Yeah, absolutely. But didn't it make you feel proud to be from Detroit, watching that funeral, watching all those people that spoke, all the people that talked about her in glowing terms like that? Didn't it make you say, wow, yeah, this is appropriate, it's awesome, it's cool?
Absolutely. I mean, to see Stevie Wonder and Gladys Knight and Smokey Robinson, all these childhood friends of hers up on stage, and then a lot of the people she worked with. I know I spotted Valerie Simpson in the audience, all these wonderful Motown people. You know, a lot of people have asked me, like, why didn't Aretha sign with Motown Records?
Mm-hmm.
Because Motown Records really wasn't around when she was looking for a recording deal in 1959. Motown was just a company that put out a couple singles at that point. So she had her eye on a much bigger career, and she knew that Columbia was one of the most successful record companies in the world, so she moved herself to New York and auditioned for John Hammond up at that label. And John had worked with Billie Holiday and even the blues singer Bessie Smith, who died in the 30s. And so he had a real ear for music. And the minute he heard Aretha, he was like, oh, my God, we've got to have her on our label.
Mark, when people read Aretha Franklin, The Queen of Soul, your book, what will they see as maybe the biggest reveal or the most surprising thing that they learn about the Queen of Soul?
Well, that she was a victim very much of her life, or felt like a victim of the men in her life. She felt dominated by her father. She never really gave the details of who the father was to her two children she had when she was a teenager. She felt dominated by everybody. Her first husband supposedly was abusive towards her mentally and physically. So when she got to Atlantic Records and sat down at the piano with Jerry Wexler as the producer, and he said, just sit down, play piano and sing, he said her soul just opened up, and she really felt that and gave the people around her the feeling that she had a right to sing the blues.
Mm, absolutely. Mark, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it very much. The book, Aretha Franklin, The Queen of Soul. Mark Bego, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye now.